Praise the Lord. Dear friends, today we come to the revealed side of the Beatitudes. For the last 8 weeks, we had been meditating on the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, so it began. And we saw also the Beatitude that proclaimed those who become objects of persecution for Christ's sake. Blessed are you when you are persecuted, Jesus said. In fact, these Beatitudes were presenting a reality that has entered into this world with Jesus Christ. Beatitude is not just a vain promise. It's not only a promise that is to be fulfilled after death, sometime in a distant future. The Beatitude is a declaration or a proclamation of a reality that has already taken place here and now. That is how Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here at hand. Open your eyes, open your heart, see and accept it. That is why Jesus said in the synagogue of Nazareth, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Sent to proclaim the sight to the blind and liberty to the oppressed, to proclaim the year of God's favor. After reading it from Isaiah, Jesus said, today in your hearing, this prophecy has been fulfilled. This word has been fulfilled today. So Jesus' proclamation brings to reality, brings to fulfillment all that was a promise. That's why Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today the salvation has come to this world. And to the thief or the rebel who was crucified with Jesus on his right side, today you shall be with me in paradise. At the beginning, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and he was laid in a manger, the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, behold, I bring a message of great joy for the whole world. Because today is born for you in the city of David, Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. So this is a today, the proclamation of Jesus, the Beatitude is the today of God's action. So be happy, you who are poor, because yours is the kingdom of God. Be happy when you hunger, because you will be satisfied. How happy you when you weep, you will laugh. So your situation is changing. The moment you open your heart and open your eyes and see God's action in your life, this action becomes a reality. So Jesus was calling his audience blessed, his disciples blessed, and this beatitude is being proclaimed throughout the centuries. Matthew speaks only about the beatitudes. But in the parallel, Luke, we have another set of sayings of Jesus that starts not with beatitude or blessed, but starts with woe. And that's what we are going to meditate on today. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. So this is a repetition of woe. Is it a curse? Is Jesus condemning these people? Is Jesus proclaiming a curse on these people as he was proclaiming beatitude? Can Jesus curse? Does God curse anybody? I don't think so. Jesus is not cursing. Then what is he saying? The woe could be also translated as with alas. And that's how the RSV also translates the Greek word why. Or the Hebrew and the Old Testament as hoi, is being translated very often alas. And sometimes it's also translated as ah. It's not a curse. It is a lament. The person who uses this word ah or hoi, why, is lamenting over a very great disaster. Something terrible has happened. A great disaster has happened, and the person who sees it is breaking out in a lament, a cry that comes from the depths of the broken heart. So Jesus is not cursing, Jesus is lamenting. And in order to understand the meaning of this lament, we have to go into the Bible, not only with this Lucan passage, but also the Old Testament. There are many, many passages where such laments are intoned by prophets. For example, the word hoi, that is the Hebrew word they use, comes 22 times in the book of Isaiah, always intoning a lament. 12 times in Jeremiah, twice in Amos, twice in Hosea, twice in Micah, 5 times in Habakkuk. The whole book of Lamentation is lament. This type of lament happens also in the New Testament, on the lips of Jesus. For example, in the Gospel of Matthew, you have the huai 13 times, of which 8 times are in chapter 23. That is about the lament over the Pharisees and scribes, the hypocrites. Only twice in the Gospel of Mark, and never in the Gospel of John, but 15 times in the Gospel of Luke, of which 4 we see in the parallel to the Beatitudes. So now, what exactly does this alas mean? What exactly is the lamenting on? If it is not a curse, if it is a lament, why is he lamenting? Let us see some of the examples. The example, we start with Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8, the RSV translates not as alas or woe, but just ah. Are you who join house to house, who add field to field, until there is room for no one but you, and you are left to live alone in the midst of the land. Isaiah is seeing a community of rich people, powerful, mighty, leaders and lords in the country. They expropriate the land of the poor. They accumulate wealth in such a way that the poor are left with nowhere to live and nothing to eat, nothing to put on. They amass the wealth, the riches, the land, and there they live alone in the midst of such wealth. As many a rich person accumulates billions and billions and glory in their wealth. And people appreciate these rich people and look upon them with admiration. But the prophet is looking upon these people through the eyes of God and sees a miserable catastrophe. Something that is so miserable that the person intones a lament. And this we can see if you go to Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Why is Isaiah lamenting? Ah, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring of who do evil, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord, who have despised the Holy One of Israel, who are utterly estranged. Why do you seek further beating? Why do you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores, the bleeding wounds. They have not been drained or bound up or softened with oil. A bleeding mass of flesh. That's what the people have become. It is not physically seen. It is something that is yet to happen. But the prophet sees it as a reality. When Babylon conquers and destroys Israel, this becomes a reality. And even before that, through the invasion, but the moment when Isaiah is speaking, they do not see it. The prophet sees with the eyes of God, for whom there is no future or past, only present. Whatever we consider as something yet to happen has already happened in God's time. That is eternity. And that's what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah, who is lamenting over a land, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart is beating wildly. I cannot be silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Disaster overtakes disaster. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly, my tents are destroyed, my curtains torn in a moment. So this is what Jeremiah sees. The country is being devastated. That is yet to take place. He sees in a vision as a prophet. And he continues in verses 23 to 26. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void. And to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking. And all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all. And all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert. And all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. This is what the prophet sees. That's why he is writhing in pain. A terrible pain has overtaken him, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is weeping, crying, lamenting over a land that is destroyed. And that destruction took place a few years later. And then comes another poet who laments, who has written the book of Lamentation, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become, she that was great among the nations. She that was a princess among the provinces has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night, with the tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. That's what the prophet is lamenting. Another example we can take from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Fallen, no more to rise, is maiden Israel, forsaken on her land, with no one to raise her up. We should remember, Amos came when Israel, the northern kingdom, was its peak of glory. It was during that time of Jeroboam II. During his reign, the country had, the territory was enlarged. Israel was its golden period. And when everything was going on well, powerful and mighty were happy, there comes the prophet saying, fallen is the land, fallen is the virgin daughter of Israel. Nobody could believe it. But after 40 years, it became a reality when Assyria invaded and destroyed Samaria and deported all the Israelites, and 10 tribes were wiped out of the face of the earth. They did not come back. And Israel was reduced to just one tribe of Judah. And this is what Amos is lamenting on. So when a prophet intones a hoy, a lament, it's not a curse. He's not condemning anybody. He's crying bitterly, shedding bitter tears. Bitter tears because of reality that he sees already taking place. That's what Jesus said. Woe to you. Woe is not a condemnation. He is not cursing anybody. God is not cursing. Jesus is seeing the situation of the people with the eyes of God, and he sees what is exactly happening here and now. He is telling how miserable your situation is. Alas, he cries, broken heart, because he sees the situation of the rich, of the powerful, of those who are full now, of those who are laughing now. They think everything is perfect. They are having a He'll have a good time, they say. A beautiful, jolly time. But in reality, you are rotten. You are dead. You are finished. There is nothing more for you to hope, Jesus says. Woe to you, because you have had your time. Because you have had it. Whatever you desired, you think you had. And you think you are a person who achieved something. No. In the eyes of the world, you may be seen as a happy man. But in the eyes of God, you are destroyed. You are no more. You have lost. You have lost everything. You have lost your life. You have lost your wealth. And everything will be gone. That's what Jesus said later on in parables of the rich fool. Tonight your life will be taken. Whose will be all this that you have accumulated with so carefully? Or with the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man crying out to Abraham from the midst of the flames in hell, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Let him dip his finger in the water and pour a drop into my parched throat." So that is the situation. You think you are having full, that you are being happy, but in reality you are miserable. And Jesus sees it as God. Jesus sees it through the eyes of God, as the prophet saw the situation of Israel. And he is intoning a lament. That's what he said to the Pharisees. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, how miserable your situation is. Alas for you." He is as if in a house of a dead. He is seeing the persons as if they are dead and rotting in the grave. The alas, the miserable situation. That's what Jesus is presenting here. So when he speaks these woes, he is not condemning, he is not cursing, he is lamenting. And this is a call. This is a call to open the eyes, a call to realize where you are, a call to open to reality. As the poor were addressed the beatitude, so the rich are now addressed with this alas, so that they will realize what is really at stake. Now we'll come next day to reflect on why does Jesus cry over? Why is Jesus lamenting over the situation of the rich? And what is the meaning of wealth? What is Jesus' attitude towards this wealth and poverty? Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, who make your kingdom a reality for us, and who also warns us about the dangers that we face in ignoring the poor, in ignoring your commandments. Jesus, you lamented over us, over the city of Jerusalem, over the scribes and Pharisees, the hypocrites. And very often we too are the hypocrites who close their eyes and ears to the reality of the kingdom and to its demands. Lord, enable us to accept your word. Open our hearts to receive your word. Change our hearts to follow your word. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.